Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening.
To the book of Acts, chapter number 26. Chapter number 26. And I want to begin reading with verse 24. Book of Acts, chapter number 26, and verse 24. Praise God. And the Bible reads, "And as he thus spake for himself," this is the Apostle Paul, "Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, but most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." I want you to notice verse 26. It says, "For I am persuaded." And then in verse 28, Agrippa said, "I'm almost persuaded." Before we can even attempt to persuade anybody else, we've got to be pretty persuaded ourselves. Can you say amen? "None of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner." And I know that this is probably borrowing a phrase that's been used before. I think, matter of fact, a contemporary Christian artist may have written a song, at least with these words in it. And I just want to speak from this subject tonight, living out loud, living out loud. Praise the Lord. Let's lift up our hands again to the Lord and let's pray for his blessing and his touch upon our service tonight. Jesus, we need you. We need your help. We need your strength. We need your anointing, your power, your glory in our midst tonight. I pray that you would help your people in this place as we endeavor to preach and teach your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And could the church say amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Let me just digress a moment and tell you maybe how that I received this message into my heart. I, early on Monday morning, got up and I knew that I was going to have a busy day. And so I got up quite early and was trying to get a little exercise in, do a little walking, and I do a little mixture of walking and jogging, more walking than jogging, I promise. And as I was headed down one of the roads or sidewalks near our neighborhood, I have a habit sometimes of taking my iPhone and playing music on it. And this particular time, I did not have my earphones in. I just had the phone in my hand, was playing it out loud. And I looked up, and coming down the road there was another walker, jogger, exerciser, whatever. And I thought, oh goodness, I better turn this down. They're going to think I'm some kind of fanatic or something, because I was playing a song about prayer, and it was going pretty good, and I was feeling pretty good. Put a little more spring in my step as I was listening to that song. And I just for a moment thought, man, I better cut this back a little bit. And then I thought about all the times in the middle of the night when I've been vibrated nearly out of my place of rest by somebody driving up the road with a boom box that you could hear three blocks away, and the bass thumping and they were playing less than godly music, I promise. And I thought, you know what? Who cares if they think I'm a religious fanatic? I'm just, and then this phrase came to me that I had actually heard a song before sung about living out loud. And I thought, you know what? That may just preach. That may be something the Lord's trying to speak to me about. And so we understand the need in this hour. And I've talked about it lately, there's a lot of intimidation that's at work with our world and pressure to conform. But the Bible clearly tells us in Romans, the 12th chapter, to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Can I tell you the only way that you cannot conform and fit in and feel the pressure and conform to that pressure of the world is to stay renewed in the Holy Ghost and stay on fire for God and stay passionate about the things of God and keep yourself full of the Spirit of God in your life. That's the only way that you will not conform to this world. And that's the only way you can really live the Christian life out loud and be what you need to be. I believe it's God's will that we stand out. I believe His Word backs that up. It says that we are a peculiar people. We are a royal priesthood, that we're a holy nation. It tells us over and over again in the Word of God that He wants His people to be set apart. He wants His people to be different. And that's not just in our manner of dress, though it is, but it's in our actions and in our lifestyle and the way that we present ourselves. I don't think anybody should have a question mark about any one of us if they know us very well, that is an apostolic, that's a person that has the Holy Ghost, that's an individual that loves God and loves living for the Lord. And it's something that they have in their heart, and it's something that they stand out in. I believe with all of my heart that's what God wants us to be, and that's what He desires us to be in these last days. And if we are to be effective for God, we've got to lose that intimidation the world has tried to saddle us with. We've got to get above all of that and realize that we're not in this world to be a part of it. Matter of fact, we're pilgrims, we're sojourners. This world is not our home. We're citizens of another kingdom. Amen. We've been born into the kingdom of God. I tell you that God wants us to stand out. God wants us to be apostolic. He wants the real church to stand up. He wants the real church to be effective in reaching the lost and making an impact upon this world. Can you say praise the Lord to that? And here in this particular text, the Apostle Paul, who was a standout Christian, who was a person that from the time of his conversion, if you had to define, maybe just distill Paul's life down to one particular characteristic, I think it would be fervent. It would be fervent. This man was super fervent for God. This man was always doing his very best with intensity to serve the Lord and to do his best to promote the kingdom of God and to progress the kingdom of God. You've heard the stories that historically it is said that Apostle Paul, when he was thrown in prison, we know that he was in prison several times during his ministry, but when he was in prison, that they would actually change the guards out, because if they did not, in a timely fashion, change the guards out, then he would make sure through his persuasion to convert the guards that were watching over him, and so they had to periodically change them out. We know that the Apostle Paul, everywhere he went, and his missionary assignment was not into the easiest places of society in that day. Matter of fact, if you study anything about the city of Ephesus, you'll find that it was the most ungodly city of its day. It was much like a New York of our day or a Paris of our day because of where it was located, its ample harbor. It was the center of a lot of commerce and a lot of trends and fashions and all of that. And it was a very wicked city. This is where the Temple Diana was, which was one of the ancient wonders of the world. And yet, Paul went into that city and built one of the largest New Testament churches that was ever historically built in that city, where maybe folks said it couldn't be done. and it shouldn't happen, and the pressure to conform was certainly there. But Paul said, I'm not going in to be like the Ephesians. I'm not going into the city of Ephesus to join in with them. I'm going in to make a difference and an impact upon them. I want to be what God has purposed for me to be, and through His passion, His fervency, and His desire, He was able to build a great work for the Lord and have revival, if I might say, right next door to hell. And if He could do it in the city of Ephesus, I think we could see it done right here in the city of Texarkana. If He could do it way back then, and God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then He can do it right now in this church setting among us as His people. God could use folks that's under the sound of my voice to speak up and to stand out and be used of God and anointed of God for a great purpose in this hour. I believe that with all of my heart. I think somebody ought to clap their hands and praise the Lord about that. But he is commissioned to stand before Caesar, and on his journey, and he's making his different trial dates, as it were, and standing before the different jurisdictions before going to stand eventually before, or he was sent to stand before the Caesar of Rome. But on that particular track, going to stand before the Caesar of Rome, he comes before King Agrippa. And it's here that we are reading in this particular passage, this story. And Festus, who was someone that was in power there in the kingdom of Agrippa, makes a remark to him saying, you're beside yourself. You've lost your mind. You're just a little bit too fanatical, Paul. You're a man that we used to kind of look up to and we used to think had some sense, but evidently you've gone mad. And you know, the world is still trying to make folks that are fervent for God, trying to malign them, trying to marginalize them, trying to make them feel as though they're crazy for standing for the truth or for living righteously or for not going with the flow, are not joining in with public and popular opinion, but being a person that stands out and really, truly, sincerely endeavors to live righteously for God. The world wants to malign you. The world wants to ridicule you. The world wants to condemn that. Why? Because they feel condemned by your very presence. Do you understand when you live for God and you don't join in with all the filth of the world and you don't just go along with everything that happens and everything that people are doing nowadays, you don't laugh at the same jokes, you don't listen to the same music, you don't go to the same places, you don't drink the same beverages, you don't join in with all of that kind of stuff, and you don't engage in the same moral activities that they do. They want to ridicule you, they want to look down their long nose at you. They want to some way malign you as though it's you that's got a problem, or it's you that's crazy, or it's you that's fanatical. I'm going to tell you, Paul was not intimidated at all by Festus's remark. He said, what we've done, we wasn't embarrassed about it. Matter of fact, we didn't do it in a corner. We didn't even try to hide it. We didn't care whether it was popular or not. It was the word of God. It was right. And this kind of living is what God wants us to do, and it's pleasing to God. And I'm not living for the audience of the world. I'm living for an audience of one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm living for God with all of my heart. So whether or not it seems right to you, it may seem crazy, it may seem fanatical, you may think I'm mad, but one thing's for sure, I'm sold out unto the Lord. I am going to serve Him and Him only. I'm not living for the world or to please the world or to be popular with the world, because this world is not my home. I think there's a message in this tonight. The more the world thinks you're normal, perhaps you're really not what you ought to be. Amen. But if the world thinks, hey, there's a person right there that is in love with God and hates the things of sin and hates the things of the world, then there's a possibility you may be doing it right. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's clap our hands and give praise to the Lord. He said, we're not trying to suppress this or hide this or try to fit in with this. We're doing what God wants us to do. And I actually find several times in the scripture, particularly the book of Acts, as it relates to the apostles, where the word boldness was used to describe them. Also, the word boldness is used when it relates to what the apostles prayed for. In Acts chapter number 4 and verse 29, when the heat was on and they were standing trial because of the miracle that had transpired in Acts chapter 3 with the lame man walking, you'd think anything good like that and revival taking place, that people would be happy about it. But the devil, he was mad, he was angry, and he had stirred up some folks against the apostles. And in verse 29, I want you to notice what they prayed. They said, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings." They're threatening us. They're threatening to beat us. They're threatening to imprison us. And they're telling us not to preach in your name. But he said this, "Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. I'm going to tell you, it's the word of God that brings life into situations. It's the word of God that brings encouragement and inspiration into situations. Amen. You want encouragement. You want the devil to put him on the run. You just start speaking the word of God. If you want to make the devil angry and mad, you just start speaking the word of God. There's just something about the word of God. It's going to invoke a response by those that are on that side of the line. I'm talking about those that are under the influence of the enemy, the devil. It's going to bother them when you speak the word. But for those that are trying and endeavoring to live for God and to do it right, it's going to bring encouragement and it's going to elevate their spirit. It's going to inspire them in their journey and in their quest to live for God. And these apostles prayed a prayer that I think the church needs to begin to pray again. Give us boldness that we can speak forth your word. Don't allow us to be intimidated. Don't allow us to cower down somewhere in a corner. Don't allow us to try to be covert about it. But help us to live our lives out loud. Amen. I want to talk about three areas that must not be silenced, but I believe in the last days really ought to be amplified in every life, especially us that are apostolics. We need boldness to live out our convictions. We need boldness concerning courage to live out our convictions. You read about when Ahab and Jezebel came to power. That was a very sweeping event because Jezebel, from the time that she came to power to this present day, is a spirit that is still referred to and is talked about in the book of Revelation that we would confront in these last days. And we certainly are confronting that spirit of Jezebel even in this hour. And really, there's a lot of things that could encompass that particular spirit. But I suppose the greatest thing is the spirit of rebellion against righteousness, against the word of God, against spiritual authority. And that was the problem that Jezebel has and or had. And it is the spirit of Jezebel that is still at work in many quarters today, and is still something that confronts and resists the church in this hour. And so this particular spirit was abounding. Ahab, he was not much of a man. He kind of cowered to his wife. He let his wife sort of run things, I suppose. And you read about him, he's kind of reminds you of a sulking baby, because when Nabal would not give him the vineyard or sell it to him because it was his inheritance and something that meant more to him than just being a piece of property, but it was something that had been passed down to him and something he felt like he needed to protect. He sulked like a little baby, and Jezebel was the one who had to devise a plan to get it done for him. And so we see what kind of man he was, if you could call him a man. And the one problem or the one thorn in their flesh is that God had sent and anointed a prophet in that land. And he began to preach and he began to teach the people what they needed to hear and what they needed to receive into their spirit. And so Elijah, when he was anointed powerfully of God to do these things and saw great miracles and wonders among the people, it was troubling. It was troubling to Ahab and Jezebel. And matter of fact, you read of a time when they crossed one another's path. And it was Ahab, the king, who asked of, or charged, if you want to say it that way, Elijah, saying, "Are you the one that troubles Israel?" Really, it was the other way around. Really, it was Ahab and Jezebel that was bringing trouble to Israel. But they wanted to blame it on him, and they wanted to put it off on him because he wasn't going with the flow. He wasn't conforming to their spirit and their attitude and what they wanted him to do. But he was a real man of God. He was not a hireling. He was a man of God that was anointed of God. He was a prophet of God. And they said, "Are you the one that is troubling Israel?" He said basically that he was not the one that was troubling Israel and rebuked Ahab right there on the spot. And we know that God was with him. And we know that God helped him. And there is, I think, 7 notable miracles that can be attributed to Elijah in his ministry. And it didn't stop there, but we know of the succession of things and how that Elisha came on the scene. And God helped Elisha and was with him. And there was even greater things that was done through the ministry of Elisha. And eventually the spirit of Jezebel was defeated at that particular time. But it was something that never did die completely. It was a spirit that continues to rise up, continues to try to get a foothold, and it still lingers. And it took people that were bold at different points in history and in your Bible to be able to stand up against that particular spirit, be able to stand up for what they believed and what their convictions were. Jezebel's spirit said, "You don't have to live like that. It's not important that you abide according to the word of God. It doesn't matter what the preacher teaches. It doesn't matter what the pastor says. It doesn't matter." And that is a spirit that is still alive. You hear me? That's a spirit that is still questioning things today. I'm going to tell you something. You better get that spirit out of your life, out of your heart, out of your family. You better do whatever you have to do to pray through it and get over it, because that spirit will drag you to a devil's hell. But give me an attitude and a spirit that says, "Preacher, I want to be preached to. I want to have courage in my heart to live according to God's word. I want to do God's will, because ultimately I want to be saved." That's a person that can make it. That's a person that can be saved. That's a church that can have revival. That's an individual that can be blessed. A person that has courage to stand for their convictions. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Not always looking for an inroad or a way out or somewhere that they can find some kind of little loophole or they can question some little thing. I'm going to tell you what, we got to get rid of that attitude. I'm not saying anybody here even has that attitude, but I'm going to tell you, that's humanity. That's something that we all fight in our flesh. We all think we know best. We don't know best. That's why we need God's help. We don't always know and make the best decisions. That's why we need the influence of God and His way. And His way of influencing us is through His word and through the preaching of His word. That's why we've got to humble ourselves to adhere to it. We got to be able to receive it. We can't let anything get sideways in our spirit so that we will not receive it. We've got to be able not only to hear it, but we've got to apply it to our life, because the scripture tells me that if I'm just a hearer and not a doer, that it does me no good. It's no benefit. It's like a man that looks in a mirror and sees correctly. corrections he needs to make and goes away and forgets what manner of man he is. Oh, but God, when I hear the word of God, when the mirror is raised up before me and there's areas of my life that I've got to make some changes in and corrections in, help me to be man enough and woman enough to say, God, you're speaking to me. I can hear your voice. I can humble myself. I don't have too much pride to correct some things. I don't have too much arrogance to come to an altar. I can humble myself and weep through some things and pray through some things and get a hold of God until God changes them in my life. Because all of us, if we're going to make heaven, we're going to have to allow God to alter things in us. Amen. And change things in us and deal with us and move upon us and be open to His Spirit touching our hearts and the Holy Ghost moving upon us. Because, you know, even Paul said it this way. He said, I sometimes don't even know what I need to be praying about, but the Spirit maketh intercession through me, and the Spirit knows what I ought to be doing. And when we're sensitive to the Spirit of God, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the power of God will lead us, and it will direct us, and it will convict us, and it will talk to us, and it'll use the preacher to preach to us. And the preacher may not even know what things we've been involved in and thoughts been going through our minds and conversations we've been having, but the Holy Ghost knows. The Holy Ghost was listening, and the Holy Ghost will talk to us if we'll allow it to. He that hath an ear, let the Spirit speak. Let the Spirit speak. You always need to have an ear that can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Praise God. Give us boldness in our convictions. Give us boldness in our convictions. Praise the Lord. It's not the apostolics that are troubling the world. Oh, I thought you'd say amen. I said it's not the apostolics that trouble the world. It's not what we're standing for that's troubling the world. Got this thing messed up. Got the judgments of God upon America. It's not us. Amen. It's not this word. And it's those that's living contrary to this word that's got the world messed up. You join in with them if you want to. I think I'll stick with the Word of God. I think I'll stand for my convictions. I'll stand with courage for what is right. Amen. And there's a spirit afoot that would try to silence preachers in this world. You know what? They're trying to pass all kinds of legislation and make it sound like hate speech if you preach the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, that's ludicrous. That's wrong. I said it's wrong. I don't care who passes, how many votes for it, or what your opinion is about it. It's wrong because it's contrary to the Word of God. I don't think we ought to be haters. I don't think we ought to be smart alecks. I don't think we ought to get up and stand up and ridicule people. I don't believe in all of that. I don't believe in making a light of people or fun of people in that way because they're sinners and they need the help of God. I realize that. But when it comes to sin itself and the devil that is at work, I'm going to tell you, we're not going to try to put a personality on it, but we're going to name it for what it is. It's a spirit of the world. It's the spirit of Jezebel that is at work in the church. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you know, they all got their little agenda of what they want and what they want to do and how they're going to make America better. Oh, come on now. Wise up a little bit. Realize something. It's the Word of God that's going to make us all better. The more we align ourselves to the Word of God, the more we get into this Word, the better off we're all going to be. Amen. And so we need boldness to stand for our convictions. Number two, we need boldness to be a witness for God. A witness for God. Praise the Lord. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they said, man, them guys are smart. Them guys, I mean, I seen the degrees they had. And I seen all the giftings they have. I seen all the talent and how many letters they had behind their name. And that's what impressed me. No, that's exactly opposite of that is what they said. Said that they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Now, I'm not putting a premium on being unlearned and ignorant, but what I am putting a premium on is the next statement, is that they had been with Jesus. They saw that they had been with Jesus. I'm going to tell you, that's what makes the difference. Praise the Lord. I said that's what makes the difference, because it doesn't matter how well-read a person is. If they've not been with Jesus, it's not making much of an impact. It doesn't matter how many letters they have behind their name. If they've not been with Jesus, they're not making much of an impact. Praise the Lord. It's the anointing of the Holy Ghost that is going to... There's a lot of smart so-called people, educated people, that are making some pretty dumb decisions right now, if you ask me, that are contrary to the Word of God. You need to get back and realize, hey, it's through the influence of the Lord upon my life that I'm able to lead a fulfilled life, a blessed life, a favored life. If I'm just left up to my own devices, it's destruction every time. But if God can help me, and if God will lead me, and if God will influence me, and if God will issue my steps, then I can live in victory. I can live an overcoming life. Well, I'll amen myself tonight. Praise the Lord. I get with myself. I preach with myself. Amen. I get with what's going on here all by myself. Is there somebody in this house that believes that we need a little bit more boldness to stand in this late hour? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. When they saw the boldness, when them fellas come up to pray, they wouldn't say, man, I hope none of those religious leaders are around sees this. I hope none of my buddies that I've been running with on the side see me up here praying. They'll think I'm some kind of religious fanatic. I mean, I'll come up here 3 times a day. And I believe they come marching up there. They saw that fella begging for alms. They grabbed him, Simon did, by the hand and said, I don't have anything monetarily to give you, but I've got some power because I've been praying. I've been seeking God. Praise the Lord. We need more boldness in our prayers. I said, we need more boldness. We need some Daniels that say, I may be in Babylon, but I'm still going to open my windows and raise my voice, and I'm going to call out to God, and I'm going to believe God for his victory and his deliverance. Hallelujah. I said, I'm going to believe God for victory and deliverance because it's God that is able to see us through. We may be in Babylon, but I'm not going to live and eat what the Babylonians eat. I'm not going to do what the Babylonians do. I'm not going to join in with the Babylonians, but God is going to give me. Bring on the lions. God's going to give me deliverance. Bring on the enemies. God's going to bring me through to deliverance. Some of you may have been in the service last evening when Brother Lambeth took the pulpit. And he talked about some of these things, and I didn't know, I'm not talking about them because he talked about them, because I really felt this on my heart previously. But he did talk about for about 10 minutes the subject of boldness. And he told a testimony about his son. And for those of you that might have heard that testimony, forgive me, but I don't know. I was sitting in that service, and something, when he got up to speak, and all the rest of the service was awesome, but when he got up to speak, something washed over my spirit that I still have not been able to get away from. It was like just the breath of the Holy Ghost, if I could describe it that way, just breathed on me. And I felt such a strong touch of God till later, if he was in that service, it was much later, that we had the opportunity to, I had him pray with me. But he told a story about his son. He said, what we do in Brazil sometimes with the young people, he said, we tell them, basically I think they was using the model of when the disciples went out two by two. He said they are assigned to go to a city in the area. They would choose the city. Wouldn't be them that chose the city. It would be Brother Lambeth, the one that directs this, would choose the place where they would go, and they would have to give up their cell phone. They wouldn't be able to take any money or food because they would be fasting that day. And they would basically just have enough, I guess, to get to the particular city, ride the bus, subway, whatever, get to the city. And they would go about witnessing and being led of the Lord and sensitive to God and getting the gospel out and making an impact on that particular city. And these are, I think, cities that were unchurched. They don't have any representation or church there. And so he said his son, who is a missionary also, who's taking over the headquarters church, who's not a young person anymore. He's married and has 2 or 3 children. came to him and laid his phone down and gave his money. And he said, I want to be a part of this. I want to do this too. He said, I would like, though, to go to a certain city. And he named the city. And he said, well, why would you like to go there? He said, well, there was a young lady that came from that city to one of our church services. And he said, I have seen her in my mind's eye ever since. I haven't been able to get away from her. I've seen her, a picture of her in my mind. And he said, I don't know her. I think he had a first name, or he thought he did, but that was about it. And he, you know, it's a big population. But he said, I just want to give it a chance. I want to go to this area where I heard that she is from. I said, well, it sounds kind of far-fetched, but you're welcome to. And so if you know John Lambeth, you know he's a man. You know his dad. He's been here. A man that I revere as far as a Holy Ghost man. A man that really is, I don't know if anybody's sensitive, any more sensitive to God than Brother Lambeth. And John is of that same ilk. And fast all the time, prays continuously, really used of the Lord. So he boards the bus and he goes to the city. And he gets to the city, gets off, he doesn't really know where to go. So he goes to get a cab, I think it is, and the cab driver says, where do you want to go? He asks him if he has seen this girl, and he gives a description, said she's very distinct looking. She has one head, part of her head shaved all the way down. Other parts is grown out. She has a lot of piercings in her face. Said her name is, and it was some type of Portuguese name that I'm unfamiliar with. He names her. Said, I don't know her. Said, where do you want me to take you? It said, take me to City Hall, I guess. He said, went down to City Hall, walked into the office, talk about being bold, walked in, said he'd like to talk to the mayor. And the mayor's personnel went back and asked or said, well, there's a young man here wants to see you. And she came out, didn't recognize Brother Lambeth, Brother John Lambeth. She says, well, who are you? I don't know you. What do you want? And he said, well, I'm explaining he's a missionary, what the deal was, why he was there. And he described that girl, her head shaved on one side, hair growed out on the other, and got a lot of piercings in her face. But I just felt led to come. I said, well, I don't know anybody like that. I don't know anybody by that name. I don't know who you're talking about. What do you want me to do? He said, could you help me? She said, well, how am I to help you? He said, well, anything you could do, any of your resources. He said, well, I could give you my driver to drive you around and maybe you could find, I don't know, this is a big city. And says, well, okay. And the driver, they get in the car and said, where do you want me to take you? He said, I don't really know. He said, I tell you what, I why don't you just take me to the worst area, most crime-ridden, drug-infested area of this town. And so it's okay. So he got to the edge of it, and he said, now I'm not going to drive up in there. He said, I'm not going to. Matter of fact, we're told that we can't drive our vehicles, these city-owned vehicles, into that area because they'll be vandalized and all of that. And said, we're not going to go in there. We're fearful to go into that area, so we're not going to go in there. He said, well, you just get me as close as you can. And he got out on foot, and he began to walk from door to door. And, of course, going from crack house to drug house and all the other places of ill repute, knocking on the doors. Do you know anybody by this description? Do you know anybody by this name? And people just, you know how people in that world are covering for one another. They, of course, don't normally want to tell about a person. Somebody clean cut comes up looking for someone, they think automatically it's the law or it's someone that is trying to find them, so they don't tell him. And then finally he's way down, asked several people and been to different houses and no avail, and nothing's working, and just about ready to give up. And suddenly there's a young man that comes up to him and says, are you looking? And he names her name. He said, yes. He said, and he describes the girl. He said, yes, that's who I'm looking for. He said, well, she's right over there. And I think it was like a block away. He said, she's high on drugs right now. And he went over there And he began to pray with her. And it was told that it's a great possibility that they'll be able to start a church as a result of all of this right there in that particular city. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, instead of being sheepish about this gospel, instead of trying to hide it, or instead of trying to blend in with the world, it's about time somebody start living out loud. It's about time somebody be a witness. There's a lot of hungry people. There's a lot of folks that are really desirous of God, that are looking for what you and I possess, what you and I have. Amen. And it's time that we be the witness. It's going to take courage to be that witness. And there's one more area that I want to deal with before we close here tonight. That we need God to baptize us with a fresh boldness in. And that is in the area of apostolic worship. I can see I'm on by your response here tonight. Amen. Apostolic worship. There's too many of us that have let others, our own pride, our own inhibitions, our feelings of unworthiness, condemnation, whatever it may be, we've allowed it to hinder our worship unto God. We've allowed it to suppress our worship unto God. Or maybe there's people that I am speaking to here tonight. You got things in your spirit that need to be taken care of that are hindering your worship to God. I can't speak for you, but I got a feeling that I may be talking to somebody right now, that if you got things in your spirit that you need to get into the blood so that you can worship God in the freedom of the Holy Ghost, you need to do that. If you got aught against somebody else and it's hindering your worship, you're not hindering anybody but yourself. You're not really getting back at that other person. You're defeating your own purposes. You're hurting your own spirituality by harboring those feelings and that spirit and that attitude. And you can be stubborn all you want to be about it, but this is a place of worship. This is a place where we respond to the Word of God. This is a place where we ought to have liberty to worship God. This is a place where people have freedom to lift their hands and lift their voice. And don't give somebody that worships God a sidelong glance when they come down to this altar and worship God. If you join in worship, you wouldn't have anything to ridicule. You wouldn't have to be worried about a few fanatics that you think get out of line. If you just worship God yourself, you wouldn't be so preoccupied with them. Come on, there's some of you that ain't danced in a long time. There's some of you ain't shouted in a long time. There's some of you ain't so much as raised your voice in a long time. It's about time you clear your throat and say amen every once in a while. It's about time you realize that you're not going to run the devil off being a church mouse. The only way you're going to have victory is to raise your voice and give a shout of triumph and praise to God in faith. That's right. And I'm not going to let two or three that's got a foul spirit hinder worship in this church. I said, I'm not going to let two or three that's got aught in their heart hamper and hold back a move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're going to make it so hot in here that you're not going to be able to stay in the pot. Amen. We're going to get this thing boiling like a cauldron in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because there's people here that love God enough that they're not going to be suppressed. They're not going to be held back. They're shouters. They're worshipers. They're leapers. They're people that's full of the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. David came down that road with the ark behind him. And it was people that didn't understand what he was doing. He said, you know what? I've been baptized with fresh boldness. I'm bringing the glory here. I couldn't care less what anybody thinks about me. How long has it been since you got so lost in worship you couldn't care less what sis so-and-so thought, what brother so-and-so, what he had to say after church about your shouting and your worshiping and your praising God? If there's anybody gets out of line, I promise you I'm bold enough to take care of them. I'll get with them. I promise you a little teaching, little correction, we can hold all that in check. But I just wish that some of you would quit worrying about all of that and just put it in the hands of God and say, you know what? I'm going to worship God. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to be what I need to be. I'm going to have boldness when it comes to praising God and worshiping God. I'm going to step out when I need to in faith and give thanks and praise unto the Lord. I'm not going to be intimidated. I'm not going to let the devil drag me down. You know what the problem is too? Is a lot of people, you've let your past drag you down and keep you from praising God. You need to kick that devil in the teeth tonight and realize that's a lie. I'm forgiven. The blood says I'm worthy. I'm not worthy in my own righteousness, but I'm worthy because of the cross, because of the blood, because of salvation. I can worship just like anybody else could worship. In order for David to worship like he did, he had to overcome a lot of things. He had to overcome the failure of attempting to move that ark like he did before. You know, when Uzzah died, you think that wasn't a deal? You think it wasn't on his consciousness? You think he could have very easily allowed that to affect him in future worship endeavors? Matter of fact, it's quite possible that they had to come right by that same place in order to get to where they was going with the ark. Maybe somebody said, hey, you remember what happened here, buddy? It's because you that happened. And that's what the devil tries to do us. We get to a certain point in our worship, and then all of a sudden he brings something up. And you kind of shrink back and say, well, you know, you're right. I am a failure. I have messed up. I have made some mistakes. I have made some flops. You're right, devil. I probably don't deserve it. I probably can't be anointed. I probably can't be used of God. I probably can't break through. I probably can't have what... The devil is a liar. There isn't any evidence that David paid it any mind. He just kept on dancing. He just kept on praising. He just kept on magnifying God. And that's exactly what you need to do. Oh, you need to put some more where that came from and say, devil, just because you tried to ridicule me and bring up my past and bring up some of my mistakes and tried to bog me down and tried to hinder me and tried to stop me, I want you to know that's not going to hold up progress, not in the least little bit. No, I'm going to praise God the more. Amen. Why don't you look at your Michaels and say, if you think this right here is crazy, you just wait. You just wait. I'm fixing to get more vile than thus. I'm fixing to worship with more intensity than I ever have. I'm fixing to praise God more than I ever have. Amen. I wonder if somebody would like to come up around this front, raise your hands to the Lord, and say, God, give me some boldness with my worship again. Help me to live my worship out loud. Help me, God, to be a praiser of you. Give us that liberty that we need in the Holy Ghost. Give me that liberty that I need in the Spirit to give praise to your name, because you're so worthy. You're so worthy. You're so worthy. You're so worthy. You're so worthy.